everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and on Facebook. And today we continue in our study through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll be picking up on page 67, the heading where Bob Christopher says, I am unworthy and unlovable. So, if you have your study guide, we encourage you to turn to page 67. Now, because this is a study edition of Basic Gospel, the phone lines are not open today. Again, it's our Friday study edition. We're glad you've joined us, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's difficult for many people to forgive themselves, and I think we've all talked to people, and they said, I know God has forgiven me, but I'm having trouble forgiving myself. And so over the last several weeks, we've been looking at some of the reasons why that is so and the solution, how to let go of the past and really embrace the forgiveness that you have in Christ Jesus. And we've looked at a couple of things as far as why we won't let go. We feel like we're basically good. If you feel like you're basically good, then you don't really need the grace of God.
Right.
And so that prohibits you from truly embracing the fullness of God's grace for you as it relates to the forgiveness of sins. Then there's some that feel like they've crossed a line, that they are beyond the reach of God's love and grace. And boy, that's a hopeless place to be. But as we talked about last week, the grace of God is bigger than all of our sins. We see that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If grace was not bigger than our sins, Christ would still be in the grave.
Right.
But the fact that he's alive proves that grace is so much bigger than our individual sins and all of the world's sins. So we are not beyond the reach of God's love and grace. And today we're going to look at two more reasons why people have a hard time letting go of the past and forgiving themselves. And we're starting with this section that says, I am unworthy and unlovable. I think most of us go through life, or at some point in life, believe this, that we are unworthy of God's love or unlovable. Yes, he loves people, but we're just too unlovable for him to love us. And I think we see this in the prodigal son story.
Yes.
And I think it's really important for us to really take a look at that. So we're all familiar with the prodigal son story. We've all heard that probably a number of times in life. But just to recap, he convinced his dad that he wanted to take his inheritance and go out on his own and do his own thing. And so his dad graciously gave him his inheritance. And so he set out ready to take on whatever the world offered him. And pretty soon he was seduced by the world's charms, and he started living a reckless life and just a life of gratifying every desire of the flesh. And before long, all his money was gone, and he was just living out on the streets. He finally found a job. A famine hit and times were tough. Finally found a job feeding pigs. And he was at the lowest of low. He was at rock bottom. And as the story goes, he finally comes to his senses. And he's thinking, my servants at my dad's house have it better than me. Maybe I can go back and be one of them. So he prepares a speech. And it's in this speech that we see really what's going on inside of his heart. And we pick up in Luke chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. He says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him. So he's prepared a speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So, Richard, what do we discover about his heart in this particular passage?
Well, he is feeling his defeat. Right. He went out, like you said, he was going to take the world by the tail and beat it into shape, and it just crushed him. And so he's dealing with this failure. He's dealing with his own inability to take care of himself. He's dealing with the fact that he has rejected his own father. And so he's willing to take this risk to go back, but I'm not your son. I can't call myself your son
would you in your mercy make me one of your servants? I mean, I'd rather muck out the stalls in our farm than to feed the pigs at somebody else's farm. And I'm willing to do that. So he's just abjectly defeated.
Yes. And he's projecting kind of his feelings of defeat and unworthiness
of himself onto his father.
Onto his father. So if I feel unworthy, certainly my dad isn't going to accept me back as a son.
Yeah.
Certainly he's going to think of me in a lesser way than what he did before. Mm-hmm. And maybe he won't even consider me worthy to be a servant.
Yeah.
So he is trying to project into his father's mind, or trying to figure out what his father must be thinking about him, and he knows it's not good. And so with that comes those feelings of unworthiness. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of things I think we need to look at as far as the prodigal son is concerned. Is it was his own sinfulness that led to these feelings of unworthiness.
Yes.
So he started trying to define how his father would view him, or tried to judge how his father would view him through the lens of his sinfulness.
Yeah.
Okay? And there are many people like that. My friend Lee, when I first met him, and he reached out and sent me a note and had a conversation with him, he said to me, "Bob, I was a very bad guy. I mean, a very, very bad guy." And because he had that sense of himself, he felt unworthy of God's love, of receiving God's love. Why? Because he was a very, very, very bad guy. And so, you know, when you feel that way, you think, well, I need to clean myself up so that I can make myself worthy to receive God's love. So that's one way that we feel unworthy. Other people feel unworthy because something has happened to them in life. We encounter a lot of people today in our society, and it doesn't matter where you are. You probably have friends that have experienced some harm in their lives. Maybe they were molested as a young kid by a coach or a teacher or somebody they respected. And you know that has affected their psyche, their self-image. They feel unworthy, unlovable. Maybe you've met people that are from a broken home. Their parents have divorced, and they've gone through life blaming themselves.
Yes,
that it's their fault that mom and dad separated, that mom and dad got a divorce. And so they're carrying around that stigma that something's wrong with me, so I am unworthy, unlovable. So there's all sorts of reasons that can lead to a person feeling this way, your own sinfulness or things that have happened to you. But however you got there, you're there. You feel unworthy, unlovable. And that's where this prodigal son was. He was no longer worthy in his own mind to be called his father's son. And he was hoping beyond all hope that his father would just accept him as a servant. So if you're that way today, if you're feeling that way today, I pray that this story of the prodigal son and the story of the father will bless you, will encourage you, because it is the truth of God's love that can break through those feelings and make you realize that God loves you in spite of who you are, in spite of what you've done, in spite of all the feelings that you might have. His love is steady and sure, will never go away, and once you see it, boy, it just melts you. So let's work through this, and let's see how the love of God really broke through to the prodigal son's heart. So in the next passage, Luke 15:20, we ask the question in the study guide, when his father saw him, what happened? And here's what happened. So he got up and went to his father. So he had prepared a speech. He knew what he was going to say, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So a completely different reaction from what the prodigal son thought would happen. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His father must have gotten up every day looking out to see if his son was going to return.
Yeah.
Boy, that says something about the father, doesn't it?
Sure does.
And this prodigal son story, we think the prodigal son is the main character, but it's not. The father is the main character. And that's what we need to realize in our own lives. We're not the main characters. Christ is the main character in our story. So when the father saw him from a long way off, he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. So what do we learn about God the Father from this story? How does he view us? Does he view us as unworthy of his love or as someone that is unlovable? Not according to this.
Not according to this.
He's a God that when he sees us is filled with compassion. He runs to us. He throws his arms around us, and he kisses us. He just embraces us. And boy, that says a lot. Knowing that about God changes the perception that we have of ourselves. Mm-hmm. If God is like that, then I'm not unlovable. If God is like that, then I'm not unworthy of his love. He chooses to love us in spite of ourselves.
Wonderful expression of his grace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's what we see about the Father. And then in the next passage, how did the Father celebrate the Son's return? And I think this is amazing as well. But the Father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So yeah. How did the father react to the return of the son? It was
through the biggest party they've ever had.
Absolutely. That's the love of God for us. And he says that, when a sinner repents and comes to faith in Christ, all of heaven rejoices. There's this massive party that happens when anyone comes to know Christ and is made alive spiritually. That's the love of the Father. Now, we don't feel worthy of such a party. We don't feel worthy of such a celebration.
Yeah.
But God deems us so. Just the simple act of sending Jesus on our behalf, the simple act of giving us new life. It's simple, maybe, as far as what it is, but it's just the deepest act of love that God could show for us.
Absolutely.
That simple act deems us worthy.
Yes.
And that is such good news. And if we will just simply look at the love of God, look how he demonstrated that love for us, then those feelings of unworthiness will start to diminish. Those feelings of being unlovable will start to diminish. We see it in the most famous verse in all of the Bible,
yes.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you're feeling unworthy, unlovable, look at Jesus. Look at the fact that God so loved you that he sent Jesus. Look at the fact that God so loved you that he demonstrated his love, and that while you were a sinner,
yeah,
Christ died for you. Look at the fact that God has declared you to be a child of God, that he has lavished this love on you so much that he calls you a child of God. And as you look at those things, as you take your stand on those truths, you will see those feelings of unworthiness and being unlovable just start going away. And you will start gaining some confidence in your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Let me add something about reading this particular chapter. There are three stories in this chapter about three lost things: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and the lost son. And unfortunately, most versions of the Bible focus on what was lost. And in fact, all three stories are about the person who found them.
Yes, that's exactly
right. Completely different.
Completely different. It's all about God. God is reaching out. All of us have distorted ideas about the love of God. We let our sins dictate what we know about God or tell us the story about God. And every time sin speaks into our lives, it brings us to that point where we consider ourselves unworthy and unlovable. Put all that away, because those sins are telling you lies. Let the love of God, as demonstrated in Christ Jesus, tell you the real story. And once you know the real story, you will embrace the love of God. You will not miss the grace of God, and your life will be completely different.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you're listening and hopefully viewing on Facebook the Friday study edition of Basic Gospel from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're very glad that you've joined us for this edition. If you'd like to gain full assurance of your forgiveness, experience victory over sin, and see the power at work that raised Jesus from the dead, why, it's all there in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. You'll find the book and the study guide at Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and there's still plenty of time remaining for you to get your own copy and study along with us on each of these Friday editions. Again, you'll find them at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com.
Well, thanks, Bob. The next section is titled this, I'm Not Who You Say I Am. So we have a poor self-image. We don't know our real identity in Christ. And we see this a whole bunch out there in the world, especially among Christians. We really don't know who we are in Jesus Christ. And so we hang on to our past. We let our past define who we are today. And kind of reliving the past is just a part of being human, isn't it? We go to family gatherings and, you know, we start conversations. Remember when? We go back to a funny story. We go back to a poignant memory, something like that.
And some we might not want to remember.
That's right. We relive.
But others do.
That's right. We relive those wonderful stories. I'm going to have my 40th high school class reunion. And I'm sure we're going to relive some of those past stories. But that's just part of being human. That's fun, and it's helpful. And sometimes it's healthy to do that. But oftentimes there's people that are just stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. We see that a lot with athletes. They can't get past their old glory days. Mm-hmm. You know, they were spectacular in college, maybe spectacular athletes as pros, and then their career ended, and they don't know who they are. So they just bring forward their glory days and talk. That's all they talk about. That's, you know, they tell those stories. Why? Because that defines who they are today. I lived in Louisville, Kentucky for a number of years, would go and visit veterans in the Veterans Administrative Hospital there, the VA hospital. And they were there because they had a hard time getting out of their past. They had gone to Vietnam. They had put their lives on the line. They had seen horrific things, experienced horrific things. And when they got back, they couldn't break free from all of those experiences. And that's what defined them. That's who they were as people. We see others that just define themselves by a past sin. They know, you know, they know a whole lot about the Word of God. They know many verses. They've memorized quite a bit of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. But somehow it doesn't really apply to them, because in their hearts and minds, they're still that sin that they committed. They're an adulterer. They're a fornicator. They're this. They're that. And that's their real identity. And so when they meet others, at church or at work or wherever it is, they put a mask on. They wear a mask. And why? Because they don't want people to find out who they really are.
Yes.
And so they hide behind that mask. And as our friend John Lynch said, if you're wearing a mask, the only thing people will love is the mask. And the only thing that you think God is going to love is the mask.
Yes.
So the point is, take off the mask and let people love the real you. Let God love the real you. He will never define you by your sin. He will never do that. And the reason he will never do it is because he sent Jesus to reconcile you unto himself. Yeah. And he has this ministry of reconciliation in that through Christ, he is no longer counting your sin against you. He does not count that sin against you. So if he doesn't count it against you, he will never define you by that sin. He will never look at you and call you an adulterer or a thief or any of those things. He will say, you're lost, you're dead, and you need life. And when you come to him for life, that identity changes. You're called a child of God. If you sin as a child of God, he's still going to call you a child of God. Why? Because that's who you are.
Yes.
So we have to recognize who we are in Christ Jesus. So in Romans 5:19, we read this, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous.
Yes.
So because of the work of Christ, as we come to him in faith, what are we made according to this passage?
Righteous.
We are made righteous. We have right standing before God. Mm-hmm. Is God ever going to see us in any other light?
No.
Than the righteousness of his son?
No.
Absolutely not. Adam, through his disobedience, we all became sinners. That's what he passed on to us. But through Jesus, we have become righteous. So we don't have to define ourselves by our sins. That declaration of righteousness proves that our sins have been forgiven once and for all. And talk about good news. That is good news. In John 3, this is a powerful verse. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. That's what a lot of people are doing. They're staying under the cover of something so their deeds will not be exposed. They don't want to come to the light of Jesus Christ, because when they do, they're going to see themselves for who they are, and they're going to know that God knows them for who they are. Yeah. And they're fearful of that. They don't want that to happen. And so they walk, try to hide their sin from God and from everybody else. It's not a good place to be.
No, it's not. But tragically, given what most people have grown up with in terms of who God is and what he does with sin, that's the only logical response is
right.
to hide from him and reject any belief that
that's
has
exactly
to do with
right.
that.
That's exactly right. But it goes on to say this, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So what God wants from us more than anything is truth, to walk in truth. And when we lay it out there, this is what I've done, this is what my past has been, when we lay it out there, then we're free to fully embrace the love of God and see God for who he really is. See him as that Father that has compassion on us, that comes and embraces us and kisses us and throws us a party. We see him as the Father that makes us worthy because he chose to love us. We see God for who he is. So how do we let go of the past? We bring the truth out. We just lay it out there and we recognize the truth of the finished work of Christ. We're not servants, we're not slaves. God has made us sons. Let's embrace that new identity. And when we do, we will recognize that we are forever connected to the love of Christ and that absolutely nothing can separate us from his love. And that's good news.
That is wonderful news. Well, friends, we're glad you've joined us for the study edition of Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that you can find the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace and the companion study guide when you visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. If you'd like to post a question and have us play it back, you can record it over the weekend anytime at our regular number, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you through that venue. Again, 844-322-2742 is available 24 hours a day around the clock. Drop your question there. Well, that does it for the study edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.